This week's episode of the Chat Wheel is brought to you by CyberPower PC, www.cyberpowerpc.com. If you need a new computer, you should definitely go there, because Greg has a great computer, I hear. I hate him.
And we're here.
Hi.
Yes. Welcome to the Chat Wheel, everybody. It is our first live streamed episode. We're pretty excited here, kind of. A little nervous. Not really. Are you nervous, Mason?
I peed a little.
Oh, that's true. I get that.
Oh, it happens.
Wait, hold on. I have a serious question. Where do you put your headphones?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's a good call.
They're in-ear headphones.
Oh, okay. They're in there. Do you have to put those on before you...
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yep. Who needs... There's a system that I have to go through before... It has an order, and it comes together.
Check and the purpose.
Who needs headphones when you have magic, friends? All right, so welcome to the show, everybody. Let's do some introductions here. Greg, what is up, Laird? How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good.
What you been up to, good. Anything?
Not really. You know, I've been playing a lot of Dota lately, which is more than what I usually do, which is only sometimes play Dota. I've been playing a lot in an effort to become better. It's marginally working. I don't know. I've gotten, like, pretty good, but, you know, sometimes you're just in a rut when you play Dota, and it gets really frustrating, so I'm in the rut right now, so. But,
I've won.
You know, I've improved a lot lately, so I'm happy.
I'm glad someone's improved, and I haven't.
God knows you haven't.
Hey, Mason, how are you doing?
Hey, Darius, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm so glad that you played didn't crash in the ocean.
I know you guys were really rooting for me the whole way home. Yep, I am back in the States, back home, and I am very, very happy to be back. You know, it was a great semester over in England, but it's nice to be back in some familiar ground.
Well, good to hear. Good to hear you're back. You know what's funny is, like, Mason has not been on any other time zone except Eastern the entire time.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, I really haven't. I went to bed at like 5-6 o'clock in the morning every single night over there because I just refused to become unjet lagged.
That's amazing. I'm proud of you. Patriotic all the way.
It was a life choice. It took commitment, and I rose to the challenge, I think.
And this week's guest, the man, the myth, the beard, the legend, Coddle Guy.
Oh my.
Man, those eyebrows.
Those eyebrows.
How's it going? Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to get some sort of recognition around here, but happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Lifestealer Guy was taken, so we went with you.
Yeah.
What made you choose Coddle as your... What do you love about him?
To be perfectly honest, yes, Coddle is indeed my favorite hero in Dota, and I did play him religiously and a lot. You can check my Dota buff and everything. He's my number one. But it's a funny story. On my old previous stream way back in the day, I was invited by Warner Brother game to be a part of the Guardians of Middle-earth MOBA and promote that. Man, that game was atrociously shit. But I got a free beard and wig out of it because you had to stream with the attire on.
Oh,
that was part of the shtick.
Oh, wow.
I was pretty much the only man to do this.
So this is actually a legit reason you have this on originally.
And it just happened that after I was done, I was so, like, morally broken down from how terrible the game was. Me and my friend Johnny Walker went on a trip, and I was like, I'm just gonna fucking play some Dota 2 as Coddle. Wore the get-up, and that's pretty much how the story goes.
Me and Jack Daniels have a similar relationship, actually.
Yeah. He's like, this is a good idea. This is good. You should do this.
It's like, I don't know, Johnny. Trust me, kid. We're going places.
Kid, you're going to go.
You know what? I remember that post, too, because you posted... no, it wasn't you who posted. It was someone else that posted, mm-hmm. Hey, there's this dude playing his Coddle, and he's drunk off his ass, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I was asleep at the time, but it got a lot of recognition. I think that's what started propelling you towards... Greatness.
I watched it. It was amazing.
Not even good. I'm not even a good player, but just the people were like, this guy is going for it, I guess. Why not, right? We'll support
him. You're old.
Him.
You don't have to be good.
Yeah, I'm probably past my gaming prime about now. I was pretty good back in Dota 1, but now I'm pretty terrible, but that's okay.
So what did... So exactly, like, what's your past history in gaming? Just so people can get to know you a little bit better.
I'm sorry, what's my what during gaming?
Past history in gaming.
Oh,
like, okay. He's old.
Ah, okay. That's true. No, well, like, you know, old time, I was definitely in it since the beginning. I got Warcraft 2, and then I got Warcraft 3, you know, and then I saw the rise of Aeon. Aeon's of Strife before he became Dota, and then it was taken over. Then you got the Gwinso and Pendragon were coming in. I played it all through there. At the one point, I was in the in-house league. I was playing in games along with Merlini. No one would know who I am now. They'd be like, you were just that terrible guy in the game. Yeah, that's neat.
Did you have like a moniker back then that like people would have known you by?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Just like anyone else, you know, you got the name like XX Renegade, XX, you know, it's like, who
XX
the hell is that guy?
Slayer 420.
Yeah, double X's, Goku 31, whatever it may be, you know. So back then it was just kind of anyone else. So I just like playing the game like anyone else would, just playing the game. And then I would do a little artistic work here and there. I worked with like DXD very briefly and did up their forums, and you know, it was just very off and on. And then stepped off, had some real life school to do at that point in time, and then jumped into a little bit of Dota 2. I did play Han. I am Han trash. I did play.
Oh,
I know,
God,
I know. I played
There's
the Han.
So damn many of you.
It's
Drop
just,
him from
at
the call.
At the time, you gotta look like this. At the time, there was the people who were committed to sticking with Dota 1, and then you saw this new game come out, and the graphically was just so pleasing, and you're like, oh, it's Dota, but finally with nice graphics. And you try it out, and then you get hooked in that, and then Dota 2 comes up, and then you're torn in that relationship. And I had so many friends I was playing, you know, with Han, and it was hard to just to go Renegade and play in Dota 2 by yourself, but I finally did it, and I'm happy I did. It's just such a great game, and I'm happy I'm at the point where I can contribute back to it because I am shit terrible at the game, but, you know.
But not a bad caster, right? So how did you get into casting? What made you decide to go?
I mean, like, well, first off, in my real life, I don't just keep lights. I actually am an actor a little bit on the side. I do a lot of theater work, and I'm just a very charismatic person overall, and I just found that it works together really well, and I was, you know, a lot of people said I was really good with doing cartoon voices and stuff like that, and voiceover work I do a little here and there, and I don't know, I was doing a little bit of it in Han, and then, like, now that I had this dumb little shtick of wearing the Kyle outfit, I kind of just made it work all together, and I like it because I know there's a lot of people out there who are so good and know the game so well, and they're just great. They know why teams are picking what, why they're going, you know, and all that stuff, where I want to do the opposite side of the spectrum. I'm bringing in more charismatic, more hype, more ambition into the actual casting, and then I'm learning more and more as I go to put those and make it work in, like, some work. But there's definitely a difference between people who are, like, you know, the Tobies, like the shoutcasters, the ACs, who hype the game up, and it works so well when you have someone who knows the game so well on your side. I don't have that yet. Ideally, one day, I would love to get to work with something like that. But I feel like I'm there to bring the hype, and people could kind of just forgive me if I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. That's pretty much where I am.
All right.
Well, I have to say that being a part of RuneWatch was one of the highlights of my career.
Oh, my God. RuneWatch 2013 was amazing.
I don't know. Just gotta, you know, it's fun to do something. You add just your own little flavor to it, and I just figured, why not, right? You know, just why not?
All right. Well, we're really happy to have you on the show.
Can I mention a quick thing, which I forgot to mention already?
Sure.
At the end of the episode, we're going to be giving away a free-to-play poster from TI3. You can look on my Twitter for the link to what it looks like if you haven't seen it.
Pretty pictures.
There'll be giveaway instructions near the end of the episode.
All right. So we're going to start off with this week's patch, which, Mason, you've been kind of absent for because you've been all over Europe, apparently. But here comes the Wraith King. Frostivus is here, which didn't become Frostivus, obviously became Wraith Knight. And we've already unlocked the Wraith King. It's basically X-Hero Siege Castle Defense with a very, very, very limited hero pool. Have you guys been able to try it out that much? Mason, you might not have had much of a chance yet. I know
it's
you
like
did a little
games.
Bit last night. What did you guys think of the mode so far?
Well, I've played two games as well, and I've had ample time. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of these modes in general, so kind of a Debbie Downer. I played it. It was kind of fun. I probably won't play it anymore. Like, the biggest thing is it takes so freaking long to actually, like, unlock anything from it. It's like, I don't have time for that. I'd rather just play, like, normal Dota. I don't know.
Just hate fun.
That's
you.
What it is.
You really do. Just
I slam pick PL every fun. Game, and I just make people cry
by how bad he feeds. It's really terrible.
It's god awfully atrocious. It makes children cry.
Mason, what do you think of it?
I've only gotten to play two games so far because I got home last night and played a couple games, and I was playing with my brother and some of his friends. That he converted from League of Legends, actually, to Dota from his first year in college. So they were pretty shit. And one of the friends decided that it would be a good idea to do the New Game Plus mode. And granted, I had never played it before. I had no idea what this mode was. So, I mean, we did all right. We got to, like, level 6 or 7 before wiping atrociously because none of us really knew what we were doing, and it was, like, the challenging difficulty. But I like it so far. I actually think it's nice, and one of the best things I like about it is that if you have a 5-man stack, you can do it really quick. It's not like Dire Tide or like Frostivus, where you are like the Grieveling last year, when you were dependent on, you know, finding another group to queue up with and, you know, hoping it's a good game from your enemy. It's entirely just you and your friends against an AI, and I think that's kind of at least a nice different thing to do every once in a while. So yeah, overall, I've enjoyed it. I'll definitely be playing more games and hopefully getting more of the hang of it. I have no fucking clue how these shard things work.
Basically, you need essentially a million of them to get an item.
So I'll probably never get a million of them, but I'll enjoy killing zombies all the time.
Like, you need like 20,000 or something. Like,
you need
some 25 amount. Oh,
you need 25,000 for the higher end one, and like 8,000 for the lower end. But it's not too bad because I mean, I got like 5,000. If you get, I'd played two games, I got like 3,000 worth. When you know what you're doing and you have the boost going, it's not too bad.
Yeah, you have to Cuddle. Have the boost though, right?
Yeah.
If not, it's just like...
What do you think of the mode, Cuddle?
I got to play more than just two games. I went in a bit of a binge. There was a point there when there wasn't really anything to do, you know, as far as casting going in there. And the game mode came out, obviously a lot of hype around that, people jumping into that instead of playing those kind of games. So I was like, I'll just do what everyone else is doing and just keep playing. So played some Frostivus alone. And it was interesting. It was nice. You know, I managed to beat it and stuff, and it's good. I think it's great to have, you know, it's a good change of pace from people who play a lot. Maybe they're playing like four straight Dota games, maybe they lose a couple of them and they want to switch things up a bit. They can hop into something like that, you know, have a terrible game there and then just hop right back into Dota and really feel motivated to come back and win. So
yeah.
So it's nice, and it gives people who maybe don't have a lot of money the chance to build up those gems to get towards those items and get them for maybe... there's also a big community for people who trade items in Dota, and they like to work with that kind of stuff. It's good to cater to more people. That way you can bring in more people. So it's a great business front, obviously. You know. And then there's people who are more diehard about just playing Dota, and they don't like the idea of it altogether, and it's taken away from more people playing Dota. But that's when they step in with... you know, matchmaking, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's great. I love the addition.
We're going to get there. Don't you worry. I like the mode. I played 5 or 6 games yesterday, and I played with the same group, and we beat it a few times. And I'm a big fan of tower defense games. I'm a big fan of hero sieges and castle defenses. The only thing I don't like about it is the hero pool is really, really limited.
Yeah.
And it's still based towards people like Omni, Lina... Axe is really good. Legion Command is pretty good too. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it. I mean, I'm hoping that we got a couple weeks left of this. I'm hoping that they're going to add more through patches with like some additions to it, a little bit of balancing. And I'm hoping that eventually I'd like to see it stick around. Other than private servers, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely hoping that this sort of becomes the first iteration. Well, it basically is the first iteration of custom games because it's using an entirely different map, an entirely different game mode. You know, Dire Tide is different and the Grieveling were different, but, you know, it used the same map. Like, this is something entirely new. There was some post on Reddit that somebody sort of looked into the code behind it, and God knows I don't understand what the fuck that means. But basically, there was something with the strings and the coding and, you know, the thingamajigs that alluded to the fact that this was created with some sort of, like, a modified game engine and not just within Dota itself.
LUA.
It's LUA.
LUA.
Yeah, so...
And it's in an add-in directory, so add-on directory. So basically, it's kind of the way that add-ons are going to happen is... they're all going to get put in this Dota/add-ons/whatever it is. when the custom game modes hit. Now, how are we going to be sent out there? Who knows how you're going to get them? But that's
people were saying. Don't mean to somebody. People were saying that if they wanted to, they could just made it all private, and then no one would know how it was done. And but they made it out there for people to see, so that now we can take it the next step, or now we can show you. Even though we've been saying that it's something we're looking into, now they're physically showing. Hey. You know, we're still thinking about the custom games. We're still thinking about the people who want to do, like, tower defenses, Uther parties, whatever.
Yeah. So, right. I'm hoping that all of that translates into Wraith Knight sticking around post-Frostivus and maybe sort of being the hint that we are definitely moving. I mean, I think it's definitely a hint that we're moving towards the direction of custom games.
It's going to happen eventually.
I do hope it sticks around, though, because I think it's fun. And honestly, I think it's a lot more fun than the Grieveling was last year, although that event was so much fun to cheese.
But what if they make one great custom game that's so good that a company hires them and they make their own spin-off of a game, and then Valve has to sue them?
Valve would be smart enough to actually try to own it before it went out that far.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my
take. We will have come full circle, jerk circle.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for Enfos. I love Enfos so much. But so now, Skeleton King, R.I.P., kind of. I mean, he was already dead, but R.I.P. Skeleton King, right? Wraith King comes in, which we're all thinking it's the Blizzard copyrights causing the issue.
I feel like Blizzard just, like, gave them a list of hero names. You're like, yeah, if you could change these, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Basically, there's just, like, a list of, like, 10 heroes. They're like, yeah, you need to change all these heroes in some kind of timely manner. Because they're not just going to, like, change them all at once. But, you know, we've kind of slowly seen heroes kind of adjust a little bit. And it's whatever. I mean, it sucks if you're a caster, because you'll get flamed if you use the old name. You'll get flamed if you use the new name. So you get flamed no matter what. Which is really no different than normal, but...
I'm still using Windrunner.
Yeah, who's still left? Is there anyone left that still needs their name to be changed? I'm trying to think off the top of my head, or was that pretty much it?
Not that I know of, but I had no idea that Skeleton King was a problem. Like,
how
that seems like a pretty generic concept to me.
I feel like the model is more of the issue than the name, or they would have just changed the name. Because I've been going back and playing Diablo 3 a little bit, and you know how at, you know, sort of like the mid of Act 1 you fight, you know, Leoric the Skeleton King, like, it looks almost exactly like Skeleton King in Dota 2. And it's not like something, I mean, that's kind of unavoidable, it's a fucking Skeleton King, like, you can only make it look so many different ways. But it was probably an issue with the model and the idea of it more than the name itself. Otherwise, there would have been no reason to do a full hero rework, you know, as opposed to, like, Windrunner, who just, you know, had a name change. It was, you know, it needed a full revamping.
They were smart because they put it in this fucking hype mode, right?
It's I love the way they did it.
Look at this new mode. And it's like, don't notice that we're changing Skeleton King. Look at Wraith King. That's how they did it.
I liked it. I really liked the way that they sort of were able to incorporate this thing into, you know, like, lore-wise. Like, if they just dropped a patch and said, by the way, Skeleton King's gone, we have Wraith King now, here's an entirely new model set, new name, new lines, and like, here you go, have fun. Yeah. Everybody would have been like, what in the actual fuck just happened? So I think the way of doing it this way and making, you know, the event out of it and giving it some lore background and sort of really being able to see, like, the full development of it, I think eased some transitions.
Yeah, I agree. They were smart about it. Did you guys, this isn't even in the patch notes, but it annoys the shit out of me. Did you guys see the materials for Phoenix come on there?
I remember glancing at them.
It's like,
it's not a bird anymore, right?
No, it's like fucking fire puck is what I called it. It's puck kind of thing. They changed it from a fucking, here's the thing, all right, Phoenix is my number one favorite mythical creature in the fucking world, okay?
Oh, God.
And I'm waiting for it, like, I'm
wow,
like,
right out there, okay.
Why does this not surprise me?
I'm like, man, I can't wait, this would be awesome, this would be a Phoenix, I'm gonna play it, I don't care for shit, and it's like,
oh my God.
Fire puck. Are you fucking kidding me? You had one job, keep it a goddamn Phoenix, and you didn't do that. I mean, I applaud their ability to make something different, and it's probably going to be awesome.
Fire Puck doesn't sound different at all. It sounds like Puck with fire on it.
Well, that's what it kind of looks like. Yeah. I mean,
it's still
It's still a little early.
Lena Conander looked like a transvestite when she started. Now she's a full-blown female.
And look at Elder Titan. He looked really sad, right?
Oh, my
God. He looks good. Elder Titan looks like a sad old man that just been destroyed his entire life.
I mean, he carries on a stapler for a living. I don't know.
He got off his nine. He got
love the staple gun.
He got off his 9-to-5 job. He's now on retirement funds on a limited income. You know,
he's got to fight in a gladiator type battle to stay alive long enough.
Sir, I believe you have my astral spirit.
I'm going to blow up the building.
Derek, you really do seem to have like whenever a hero is changed or like something different is introduced, you always seem to have such a personal connection to whatever's being changed or altered. It's really amazing. Like,
I call it,
whether it was Windrunner's name or Phoenix's model, there's always just this like this whole emotional backstory of why you're like borderline in tears every time something is changed.
He takes everything personally, man.
My father was a Phoenix.
Right? Oh my god!
I call it empathy, Mason.
It's empathy. Yeah.
Empathy for the.
I feel so bad for those pixels.
Oh my god!
Anyway, with Frostivus came a fucking insane sale, right?
Mm. Worst timing ever.
I gotta buy Christmas gifts for everyone.
Yeah, dude, I'm so poor right now, dude, Jesus.
Fucking really. It's awful.
Steam does the same. It's like, welcome to the Christmas sale. And I'm like, I got no money,
Steam. No, Steam, no.
But it's like 75% off. I bought $12 items for like $2.79. I bought like 5 sets, a backpack extender because... and Bastion Announcer. For like $18, and I'm not even done. It's just like I didn't have any money this week. It's going on until January 4th.
I didn't get anything yet from the Christmas sale, but I did finally get my you guys can't see it. It's the Dota headset.
Yeah.
Oh nice. Yeah.
I have the old one. I'm wearing the old one right now.
It lights up, which was unexpected for me. So as soon as it lit up, I instantly became much more excited.
I didn't know it lights up.
The sides light up. It's got the little microphone thingy, but it came with one of the kings of all hats, the Scythe device, so that's pretty sweet. But I ordered that a long time ago. Valve shipping is just like Valve time. It took like almost a month.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, what else?
3 to 5 business days.
Did anyone think about the poor trade values? These poor traders out there that have like $12 sets, like, you know, 4-key, 3-key items that are now like a key. Well,
here's a theory. Is it possible that they could just remove the item? I mean, some will have to stay, got some stuff, but after the sale, I know they removed items from the store, right? Is it possible to remove it afterward? And
I mean, could this be like a clearance sale sort of thing?
A digital clearance
almost
sale.
Everything's possible.
I don't know. Like, it's like 12 pages of fucking sales.
It's a lot of sales,
It's like, I mean, they gave it to some of them, definitely, and they've done it before. It's just, I feel like I want to buy like multiples of a bunch of sets and then just wait like 4 months. But my problem is I'll just keep the shit because I know I'm a pack rat.
God, there's like so many things I regret from when I started playing Dota. Right when cosmetics got introduced, I saw the Ursa set and I was like, oh, that's like kind of weird. I don't really think I want it. And I'm like, I literally, at one point, I added it to my cart. And I was like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of, it's like neat, but it's kind of weird looking. If I had fucking bought that, goddamn. Although
you'd
I'm
be
wait
swimming in hats.
The thing is that I'm also like I would never sell it. Like that's the problem. Never
hey Cottle, ask about his Battle Furies.
Oh,
Battle no, his Time Breakers.
Fucking god.
Oh, Time Breakers. Excuse me.
Dude, at one point I traded a Time Breaker for an Ice Tiny skin.
We traded two of them away, actually.
And one of them, yeah, but one of them was like to one of my friends, and it was for like.
Oh god!
One of them
he ain't good enough of a friend.
Yeah, apparently. Oh yeah.
To be fair, the value of the Time Breakers has come down a little bit. Like I think they're like 50-ish keys now, so it's like $100.
Oh yeah,
that's nothing. That's
well, I mean, considering before you could honestly get almost like $200 to $225 worth of keys for it, like that's a fairly big price. But yeah, it's still $100.
I was looking at the Arcanas from Legion Commander and Lena. And I'm like, I wonder if it's a good deal to trade, you know, like a Fezzel, because I got like Fez, like three of them, for those two Arcanas. And I look at it, I'm like, nope, I'm being destroyed. Because it's like $160 for a Fez right now.
Some of the item values are absurd.
I got like $450 worth of money that I can't even use.
Wow. So
is a Fez really worth 100? Yeah, I guess it's still worth about
80 keys. 80 keys.
Yeah.
80 keys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds about right. The other two float between like $50 and $60 a piece.
It's just ridiculous.
It's but we'll see what happens. I mean, I think they'll get rid of some of them eventually, and I think the price. But we still got a good.
It's gonna take a while.
2 weeks.
Yeah,
two weeks.
Rebound, though, yeah.
New Coddle set came out though. Bought that right away. Yeah.
What a surprise!
Which Coddle set do you?
Which one?
Have you seen the one that has like the ethereal unicorn thing?
Oh, I got that already. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's not real money for shit. That. He spent real money.
I like the new set a lot, actually. It's got even a new animation for the blast. He's wearing like a reindeer. Oh, it's great.
Oh, it's that great. One.
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah, the reindeer's fucking awesome. I like the reindeer.
It's great. You add the horn onto that, and you got yourself some crazy evil beast.
I have many bad ideas a day, and I'm looking at my credit card. I'm like, I got $50 on this credit card. I could buy the Legion Commander.
Oh, my God.
I could sound like me. Card.
Like, oh, I could go buy a six-pack right now.
And it's like an actual thought that I'm contemplating in my head going, I could do that.
I could put this money towards something else.
Or
I could not buy hats.
I could not ruin my credit by having my credit limit go above 50%, but I'm not going to use that anytime soon. You know,
buy my nephew that Fisher Price toy, or I could just get myself that Coddle staff. That sounds pretty good. Yeah, pull for you.
I could make somebody's Christmas a miracle, or I could make myself feel better.
Oh, fucking nephew's not getting anything. He's a mooch anyway. There we go. Add to cart.
There it is.
All right, so
there's loading screens now.
Yeah, there is.
I'm going to buy that AM set.
I haven't.
Okay, first of all, that AM set is fucking amazing. Those blades.
$3?
Dude, the blades are like the coolest goddamn thing I've ever seen. In fact,
is this the burning set?
No. This one makes the burning set look like
crap. Poor burning.
I'm going on the Dota store, right? I'm going on the Dota store.
It's whatever. It's like these green blades and they like float and it also comes with a loading screen and it's like $4.
I bought two sets.
I'm going to look at this right now.
I bought two sets for under $10 and I was ecstatic because usually it's like $12, $13 for it.
Dude, it's so nice. Yeah, it seems like a lot of the item sets are a lot cheaper, which I am
green floating glades?
Okay with. Blades.
I think it's purple. It's still purple, I think.
Is it the legacy of the awakened?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, and it comes with the loading screen.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm using right now.
Oh shit, that's
great. I need to get that one.
There's an Ursa one too that's in there. Yeah,
fuck that
hero, I think. The other Kunkka ones are coming. So I'm hoping that they show up soon.
That's neat. I'm glad happy.
I want animated. I really so want happy. Animated. I want animated loading screens.
That'd be
next.
Pretty cool.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I want dynamic. I want shiny things like flashing me all the time.
Shocker.
To keep my attention.
Yeah.
That's very unlike you.
There's probably like Phoenix out there who are making great splash screens. I'm glad that now they can put it up on the market and get something for it.
Yeah, Kunkka, absolutely.
Right? So good.
See, here's the thing, though. I feel like. So there was a post on our Dota 2. It was like, you know, somewhere between like the second half of the second page there. And it was like, the title was just like, does anybody else feel like this is the prices that the cosmetic should be at? Like this 75% reduce right now. And I was trying to think about that. And part of me says that I understand why things get up to, you know, $10, $12. The modelers take, you know, a really long time to make this stuff. You know, you definitely want to give them their money's worth and, you know, pay them for the real amounts of hours and effort that's put into it. But at the same time, I would never buy a $12 set. And I know that Darius is very different in that, but like, I have no problem going and like saying, I'm going to buy a few sets at like $250 a piece. Like, that's a good price point for me. And I feel like a lot more people have bought stuff with these sales. And so I wonder sort of, you know, how that math evens out to somebody, you know, sales that they're getting at full price as opposed to sales that they're getting at a heavily reduced price.
I'm okay with, like, the Arcanas being really expensive.
That's fine. I'm fine.
And, like, maybe, like, a set here and there. Like, the first Anuxi Mirana set is still, like, one of the best sets.
It's true.
But I think, you know, in general, I would agree that I think this is more the price that I expect the sets to be.
Because, like, the average set is, like, $6 now.
Yeah.
And while the quality of them have definitely gone up since, you know, the workshop was sort of first opened, I don't think they're all worth $6 anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know...
Well, there's also so much competition for... But, like, between... I mean, there's so much competition. You can only use one set at a time, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, like, there was that Queen of Pain set that came out, I think, 2 patches ago, where it was the Queen of Pain set for, like, $250, And, like, it was a pretty good-looking set. And I bought that, like, almost instantly. Like, I didn't have a Queen of Pain set. Everything else was, like, the Navi set for, like, $10. Or everywhere else between, like, you know, $6 and $8. And this was a good-looking set for, you know, $2.50, $2.25 or whatever it was. And I jumped on it. Like, that's the price point that I'm happy with, that I can make an impulse buy on, you know, and not sit there and think, well, you know, do I really want to spend $10 on this?
Yeah, do I need this or do I need to go get a six pack? You know,
and which,
yeah.
And
that's, which that's for me, that's the breaking point. If I can buy a six pack with that money, then we've got to have a talk.
I feel like the point of the Dota 2 store is it should be like impulse buys. It should be like something comes out and you're like, oh shit, I want that, and grab it immediately, rather than sitting there and agonizing over whether or not you want to pay for something.
Yeah, yeah, I'm there.
I will debate this though and say that if you have a $10 set, I mean, you may not get as many sales for the person, but at the same time, when we hit a time like this, we're actually having this sale. If you got a $4 set that's 70% off and they get like a buck, you figure they make 60 cents or whatever.
Yeah, but they didn't discount any of the really cheap sets, right?
They discounted the stuff that was older, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing they discounted, which is the stuff that may not get sold a lot anyway because people like new and shiny normally.
Mm-hmm.
But still yet, if you have a set that's a baseline $4 and it goes on a 75% sale, we're going to get like 80 cents for that or 70 cents or whatever the cuts are. That's the only concern I have about really cheap. I mean, it's good for us in terms of buying, but it may not be good for the people that are trying to make it as a living, like Anuxi or Tividoto.
I think they do okay.
Let's get her on air and ask her exactly how much she made. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's at willing to disclose that information.
Tell us. So we spoke about her briefly earlier. Legion Commander has now arrived in the scene. Have you guys gotten any chance to mess with her at all? I mean, Coddle only plays Coddle.
So I played one game. She seems pretty good. I don't know. She seems pretty powerful.
It's a very... I played actually quite a bit of Legion Commander in Dota 1 when I was first getting into Dota. And, I mean, God knows I was fucking awful. But it's... I mean, she is such a strong hero. Like, it's... She doesn't really have a bad ability. And if you can pick good duels throughout the game and don't completely fuck it up, you're just unstoppable.
Yeah, you get huge. Like, because the thing is, like, I was playing with someone, I was playing co-op, and we had a Legion Commander, and me and him just walked around, he dueled someone, I would just scream them and, like, maybe dagger them, and they would just, like, die. Like, you don't have to just duel, like, by yourself. If you have a hero coming along with you, you can just, like, rig the fight, catch someone out, and they're just dead. Like, there's nothing they can do. Because literally, they're stuck just auto-attacking Legion Commander. Like,
Legion Commander, Lifestealer, new meta, Infest Bomb, oh, Infest Duel Bombs.
God, that sounds horrible.
I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah,
and I don't want to think about this. It's just I'm a very support heavy guy, and I think Legion Commander also makes a great support. I mean, obviously she's good in the jungle. She could play that four role. I think. I know it's a long off before we see her in like captain's mode or being drafted anytime soon until she's got all those edges, you know, polished. But you can play her in the jungle, and you can think of her duel almost as a nice CC. Imagine pairing that with a Ghost Scepter, you know, maybe right before you do it. Now you're holding someone there, and you can pick their prime target out. You're their Lifestealer, their whoever they're carrying, their Weaver. Hold her, pin them there, and then you can time everything after that. Or you can allow the rest of your team to sweep through those weaker supports while you're isolating and holding them there. It's a great CC tool as well. She's going to be very versatile. As she is right now, I wouldn't be surprised she's picked up early and people can get her like an Elder Titan and just change her around as the draft goes on. And, well, we wanted her as a mid. Now we're thinking about making her be the support. And it would work out.
No, I agree with you. Legion Commander was actually, at least from my experience, was played in the jungle a lot back in Dota 1. At least at my shit tier, I guess. Just because, Press the Attack and her Lifesteal are just really strong, and it makes jungling really easy. You get to level 3, and you are never in any danger of dying whatsoever, because the Lifesteal procs early and often. It's a couple free attacks, and you know, you come out of lane when you hit level 6, you get a free duel on somebody, and it's time to start stomping.
And she can bring back life to somebody. She can dispel, debuff, she can heal somebody, she can increase their damage.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really good help for like a carry too.
I think as a four, it's a pretty. I feel like it would be a legit pick.
Yeah,
I don't think she. I think the laning, her doesn't have any great like laning abilities. But I think as kind of like a four, that you know, I can see a lot of captains playing this, because if you get like a blink dagger, you can actually just set up ridiculous ganks with that hero.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I kind of feel bad that the Arcana came out like immediately with her, though, because there's not enough time for people to get used to the original version if we're going to switch over the Arcana, because I'm one of those dumb fucks that will go and buy it anyway, like right off the bat. You know?
And we
I'll never know what the real animations were like, the original ones. I'll just know her with her flaming swords and shit. So I feel like they could have waited a little bit, but
It's a hype release. I get it.
It is. I get it, but still. But, all right, let's talk about what you guys are all caring about, and you guys being
on
this panel. Ranked matchmaking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
So I haven't finished all my calibration games yet, but I've played a significant amount of games. My only complaint is that Allpick sucks. Allpick is horrible. I will never play Allpick ranked. It's just until Valve changes it, so at zero you get like randomed or something, I will just not play it, because it's just like having to just sit there and like pick a hero and just know that you're gonna get counterpicked is so goddamn painful. It's like, oh, I'm gonna pick a Weaver. Like, I picked Weaver once and instantly, like after minute zero, it was like Bounty Hunter Slardar, and I was like, oh,
well,
this game's gonna be great.
That was me and Mason going against him, actually.
It was like horrible. So I don't know. I've been even like solo queuing Captain's Draft and Captain's Mode, and it's been a lot of fun. People seem to be a little bit more willing to like collaborate and stuff. A lot of my friends were being like lame and wanted to play Wraith King, so I just solo queued ranked match bunch, and it's a lot of fun. I don't know. I'm interested to see how people's ratings stack up, you know, compared to like my Dota skill and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So. If me and Mason beat you in our skills,
oh my God, I'll never play Dota again.
You'll kill it. You'll kill yourself.
Yeah,
probably. I wonder if Nick will show back up. You think Nick will?
Oh, he's already back in.
For those of you who might not know who we're talking about, it's our friend Nick, who Cruel GGs. He was on the show a bit, kind of when we first started. He took a bit of a hiatus from Dota because he was a little bit frustrated
he's
with it.
Hy, basically. That's what he did.
Yeah, he was like, fuck this, going to LOL, and he came back.
The minute ranked matchmaking was announced, he's like, I'm fucking back.
So. That's what he wanted. He had wanted something to be able to measure his skill against other people.
You need an EP ruler, and this is perfect. So
is this a mode that you care about, Cottle, or is it just something?
Well, obviously, just as Greg was saying, is I'm obviously more of an AP picker because I like to get what I want, and that's Cottle usually. But
I'm okay with that.
People will want to counter that right away, so it then becomes, you know, I'd rather roll with a group of people, and I haven't really found the opportune time yet to jump on and get that going just yet. I'm sure I will come the new year and really get to play some more matchmaking, but I don't know. I think it's great. It's great for a lot of players. It's kind of hurting a lot of hype right now, so it's kind of hurting the NEL a little bit, and finding games to cast and getting that while everyone's jumping on it. So we'll see. It's it's definitely a plus, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think we'll have to see how NEL and EEL do after this. Me and you are both pretty involved in that. I think there's still a place for the NEL because NEL is, you know, there's a prize pool. It really has its own community, so I think NEL is fine. You know, IXDL Open might be in a bit of trouble, but whatever. I don't know.
But then again, who cares?
Yeah. But
no, I mean, he's right. NEL still has a place, whereas you'll be going against really good competition, and that's more practice if this is something you take seriously. Whereas ranked MM, you could power stack your team and then just sweep through a bunch of a bunch of randos. But if you want to take the game seriously, you want to go against the better players, and you'll find those in the NEL, at least as far as NA Dota goes. You'll find the better players, and you'll get to go against them. You may not like it, because you'll get your ass beat, but sometimes you need to get your ass beat to get better.
Yeah. You know? And you have exposure, too. Like, you have exposure through the tournament system.
Yeah, like, people know who you are, like Mason. Like, no one knew who Mason was before the NEL.
We still don't know who Mason is.
Well, I mean,
it's me.
Oh my god!
Oh, it's me, guys.
Yeah, it's you.
I'm Mason.
Oh,
I can't
god.
Believe that. That's amazing. Why haven't you taught us your ways of playing better? Why do you suck so bad all the time?
I prefer to hide my identity so that I don't, you know, get random friend requests all the time. People like, "Dude, can you teach me?" I'm like, "Nah, man. I got NELs to win."
Yeah.
Who's going to change their name so there's no more confusion once one of them becomes more popular than the other? That's the question.
Well, he spells it with an I, so technically we're all right for right now.
okay.
I think his popularity is maybe slightly more than me right now, but we'll see if that stands.
We're live streaming now, so it's okay. He's still going to start going downhill.
You'll all get to see my beautiful face, and it'll be good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, right. All right. So we also – there was a post on the blog about the matchmaking before it even came out, which kind of said that the precursor, the hint that this was coming, which was this really long post that we're not going to talk about. But I suggest you guys, if you haven't seen it, go check the blog. It's a few posts back now at this point. It's all about how Valve did their matchmaking and the ELO system and how they rated everything. So just go check it out. Yeah, I mean, we don't need to go into it, but just go check it out if you haven't seen it, because it's a good read.
Yeah, I read it. I read it over, and just like some of the basic points, it's obviously not about all about wins and losses. They consider how well you actually perform in the game, and they also formulate if you're in a big stack, if you're in a little stack. So it's nice. It's not just like, oh, if you just lose a lot, you're not going to get anywhere. Like, they consider how well you play, whether you're support carry or whatever, and go from there. And then they'll make sure they try their best to make it a, you know, 50% win loss for either team. So it's good to see that they're, you know, they have all that data put there.
What is the highest MMR that you guys have seen on, like, a stream or something?
I have no idea.
I haven't been looking.
Arteezy's is, like, 5,300, which is, like,
Jesus.
Absolutely... Like, the 99% is, like, 4,100, and he's 5,300, so that was the highest that I've seen.
What's like, the max number? Do we know yet?
I don't think there is a max.
I don't think there...
There's no like public max at least.
But what like number is good? Like if you're above 4,700, you're probably very.
If you're above 4,100, then you're in the top 1%.
Oh, so okay. My 5,200 is fine then.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're doing all right for yourself.
All right. Good. Hey, with this patch though came some game updates, 6.79C, and we're not going to go through all of them, but let's touch base on a few of them. They nerfed Hand of Midas. The cost of the recipes now from 1,400 to 1,550. Do you think this is enough to stop Midas gaming, or do you think it's still going to happen? I don't know if it's enough.
I mean, that's like one more jungle camp if you're a support. I actually think that this nerf is more significant for carries, because three last hits in lane versus like a support just like randomly picking one up, I think is actually a much more significant nerf. Because, like I said, like 150 is like, you know, that's one creep camp. The biggest hero that I think about this on, like abusive Hand of Midas usage is Crystal Maiden, because you can literally jungle from level one. And I don't.
She just got nerfed too. Actually, a little bit.
But. Yeah, but like I think it's still fine. Like I don't know. It doesn't seem like.
No, I think it's
special. It seems like a nerf, but it doesn't seem significant enough to like. I mean, it won't be to the point now where like literally five people on the team get it, but. I mean, maybe it still will be. Fnatic
maybe down to three.
Will. Maybe like three
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. A small hindrance, nothing severe. We won't see it anymore, but yeah.
I think it's not the end that we're going to see with the Midas and the changes coming to it.
Yeah, I think it needs a different kind of rework than, you know, just an increased cost. Because that's like one more usage, right? Use it one more time and it pays for itself. So.
Yeah, exactly.
They fixed power cogs, knockback AoE being too big. Fuck.
Dude, that is a... Pest. That's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
That hero is stupid.
How much bigger was it than it was intended to be? Like, is it very significant?
Sometimes, like, the knockback was too big, and, like, sometimes it felt like you were getting fucking vacuumed into cogs. Like, weird things would happen. I think it's just a little bit more consistent out now, but...
And
no, it's good. It's needed. Clockwork was seen like 90% ban or pick, and it needed a little something. Just kind of, you know, come back to earth a little bit. Just a little bit, you know.
Bring it down a couple times.
Just turn it down a little bit.
And apparently Valve is watching Jiraxle with
my fucking God.
Stone Spirit, because Magnetic Grip cast range was reduced from 1,400 to 1,100. Boulder Smash silence duration was reduced from 5 to a 3.5, 4, 4.5, and a 5. And then Boulder Smash's unit knockback range scale from 800 to 5, 6, 7, and 800 per rank.
I think this is this is more in line with what this hero should be. Like yeah. When this hero came out, I wouldn't like I don't know. I have a lot of problems with all pick because like that hero was just so broken. Like
he was so good
there was
from
just nothing you could do against that hero in lane. Like
you got to level 3 and think about it this way. These 5 second silences and the knockback range and the cast range were all something he had at level 3.
Yeah.
Like it was just the damage and the mana that
it
scaled.
Was stupid.
And so the amount that he could stun, silence, and knock you back at level 3 was a kill on like anybody, like literally anybody. So this just kind of, I think, prevents him having a too ridiculous of
a
start.
He's still a really good hero, but I think he is slightly less stupid now.
As Cottle said, he's a little bit more back down to earth now.
Yeah, he's, you know, this clearly prevents him from snowballing so hard so early. He still has great tools. He has the stuns, the silences, and the pushbacks, and the free force staff and everything. Just not so good early. It was a bit much, all right? It was just a bit too much early to be able to snowball that quick and that heavy. And he's already a pretty good snowball hero, but it's like, why don't we just go ahead and already give you this much snow at the start?
Yeah.
And the final two changes we'll talk about is Slark and Huskar were added to CM. So my question is, will this help Liquid get out of their rut lately?
No. Maybe, I don't know. Like, I could see a world where they somehow, they pick... Slark, I think, is much better than... Like, Huskar is still not going to get picked. That hero's still ass. Slark is pretty good, I think.
I want to see somebody man up and find a way to use a Huskar at least once.
Horrible. Now that there's, like, cheese...
Yeah, now that you can't, like, fake orb cast through Ghost Scepters, it's not great anymore. I'd like to see it once just for the novelty, but I think Slark can be legit. Loda just played him today and went really well. He was, he had some horrendous win rate pre-this patch, like 2-9 or something like that. And then since he's been introduced, he's been picked up a couple times, and I think is undefeated, or at least close to undefeated. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's a slippery bastard. You build him defensive, you give him a Lincoln Sphere and some drums, you're not going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And what I'd really like to see, and I hope it kind of works out, is that Alliance was playing Sigma today, and Loda picked up the Slark. And Sigma has Miguel, who is an incredibly good Slark player. Back when they were on Flipside, when he was sort of playing the one role for them.
Yeah, that was like their TI3 qualifier pocket.
Oh, yeah. They got... That was when Slark was first added to Captain's Mode in Dota 2, and I can't remember them losing a game like with him playing Slark. It was absolutely absurd. Yeah. So I'd like to see... You know, fucking Matt, if you're listening, let's get Miguel on a Slark. Let's see how it works out for you guys.
I'm sure. But, I bet they will.
But yeah, I think that Slark can be a legit pick. I'd like to see Huskar once, although I know it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's kind of calmed down in pubs. Like, there was a time we'd see Huskar every match, and now he's kind of calmed down a bit.
Yeah, there's not really a while for him in games. I mean, what do? You put him middle, maybe give him a mechanism that's it. I mean, and he's so easily shut down. A lot of teams like to run their minus armor. They'd like to run their focus fire, and Huskar would get ripped apart no problem later into the game. He might have a successful early mid game, but if you don't even get that, then it's just nowhere. Where Slark is just someone who's so great, and I watched those same games today with Loda playing him, and it's ridiculous. His regen is absurd. He leaps out a little bit, comes right back, and he's full and ready to go. It's crazy. We'll be seeing him a lot, that's for sure.
Now, Twitch.tv updated the servers, which I haven't had to deal with it personally, but Mason, you have. They're apparently not that good, so why don't you go take that? I'll be right back in 1 second. I got to turn a light on here.
All right, so... Have you guys heard, like, the constant complaints from over in Europe about how bad Twitch is over there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As I lived in the UK for the past 2 months, I can agree that Twitch is fucking horrible on the other side of the Atlantic. It is literally ass. I couldn't watch... I had to watch Twitch through VLC for my entire time there. I could not actually load any video on Twitch TV itself. It just wouldn't, and if anything actually loaded, it would be so stuttery and horrible that it just wasn't worth it. And then over VLC, it did this really weird thing where the game would pause and then repeat the audio until it caught back up with present time. It was just fucking awful. So I was really happy to come back to the States, where Twitch has worked for me pretty well so far. But ever since this new update that they pushed out, which is they improved some servers... some of their like server stations over in Europe, so that's good. I don't think anything can be considered bad about that. But as we were talking about a little bit before the show, they changed the way that their like video encoding system works, so that it's supposed to be smoother. But I don't know. All I've had is buffering for the past like 2 days. It'll just freeze, and I have a very good internet connection. I have, you know, a good computer, and it's just worse than it was before.
Yeah, I think if they're using a whole new method, it'll get better. But I want to get to this thing that Coddle Guy posted about on Reddit before he has to head out.
Yeah, that was my rant.
What's why don't you explain this? You had a post the other day, which
this was just out of frustration from yesterday. I mean, obviously the patch came out. There's a lot of hype for that. And meanwhile, for someone like me, and I'm about to leave here. I'm going up to California for the holiday, and it's like, and the lady left before me. She's not very good with flying, so she took the train. I have the apartment to myself. I could go 110% in this cast. I can nail it if I wanted to, right?
Nude Coddle casting.
Oh yeah, whatever. Oh, I'm hyped up. I'm ready to go. There isn't a game anywhere to be cast. It's just like no one's playing. And if you're not in Beyond the Summit, if you're not enjoying Dota, you know, your options are very limited. Like, I had, at one point, I was doing the Dota 2 cast it request for players, but most of the time, they're just pub games where one team sweeps to the other, and there's no drafting. You don't even really get to really get any practice in, like, game theory craft. It's just kind of, I'm practicing talking over their game, and just like, I mean, given, you know, they're good players, and it's fun, and any practice is practice, whatever, but it'd be just so much nicer if I'm like, I played a Dota game, like, I want to cast a game. I hit a button, hop into a queue, the queue finishes, and I'm instantly placed into a broadcaster slot of a very high matchmaking game, just the same way it's organized when you go to watch a matchmaking game. But I get to hop in right when they're doing their draft, maybe if it's a captain's game or if it's a solo, whatever, and I cast along with it, and maybe people tune in who normally just watch those random casual games, and maybe they see an option now to go with one of the broadcasters that have queued up with it. You can go with them if you'd like. And I don't know. I thought it was a good idea. I mean, realistically, could it be done? I don't know. Do they feel there's a big enough audience who wants it? Probably not. But just for people like me or anyone out there, you know, who knows? Who wants to be a caster? No other game really caters to casters to give them good recreation, good practice. It's like, why not take an investment and go for something like that? I mean, it's a real role that they need to fill for a lot of these esports games now and esports games in the future. Why not invest in a way that people can practice stuff like that now?
There's usually like 300 people watching those top games. Like,
yeah, usually.
I think it's a really, really, really good idea. Like, I think there'd have to be some kind of way to, like approve the casters or something, or some kind of submission system, or like where, you know, so like random assholes aren't like clogging up slots and cheating on games, or like that would happen.
It could be something.
It would be, but like I think that there's. I think it's a great idea, basically.
It could be something like, kind of like the command and report system now, where if someone comes in and they cast the game and they're absolute shit, or
it's nobody, it's just some AFK person doing nothing, you could easily just hit a button to report them.
You strike them.
Yeah, boom.
And then they can't cast for, say, a week, or if they get X amount of reports.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Kind of the same, kind of like a low-priority caster, if you will.
You have to make the casters cast low priority.
Yes, you actually have to cast.
They have to cast three low priority matches before they're allowed to cast ranked matchmaking.
It can't be automated, because what would happen is like
everyone would be like, the caster would make a mistake, and everyone would be like, "Fuck that, strike him," and then he'd be screwed. Exactly. That would definitely
Hello,
happen.
Hello, everybody. This is LD casting low priority Dota. Let's check it out. Yeah. Fuck you all. Thank you.
There has to be a system. There has to be, I mean, I don't know what it could be, like the same way like beta testers apply for applications on things. I don't know if casters can make applications, or they have a service they could build for that where you can apply to be a caster. They obviously know that you're not just some schmuck troll or whatever.
Or like,
you can't just,
I think it's a great idea.
Or even like some sort of vouch system, like sort of what IXDL does, where maybe you have to like, you can either, you know, some sort of like, you know, nominal application to be able to go through, or maybe get vouched by somebody else who's already in there. So, you know, when BTS might want to bring in a new guy or something like that and give him some training, they can say like, okay, here's a 10-day pass to ranked matchmaking or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Whatever. And it'd be nice too, it's like after you finish the match, if they had an option, you could download it, you take that replay with your voice on it, you shove it away in a folder, and then that way if you want to apply for something down the line, you're like, here's my folder of replays, have, you know, free will to look over them, whatever. So it's nice. And it puts you on that platform where you could have those 300 viewers or whatever, as opposed to just streaming on your lonely indie streaming page where no one ever gets to come by, you know?
Yeah, and it gives you practice. Like, I'm not someone who can cast very well yet. I'm a good bullshitter. I'm great at that. But between Mason and I, he's a better caster than I am. And it gives you an opportunity to practice something where it's not just you pulling up a replay and then doing it and then putting it on YouTube and then getting, you know, content ID flagged and shit like that. Which maybe we'll talk about that before the end of the show. because that's an interesting topic. Do you guys listen to the content ID stuff? Oh, you're all just staring
not particularly.
At me. All right, I'll talk about that because I think it's important for us.
Go for it.
But I think it's important. Now, the content ID, I'll explain it to you. Have you guys been keeping up with this? Probably not.
I have
it's
no idea
like
what you're talking
YouTube
about.
Videos get taken down.
Oh!
Okay. They get flagged.
I
they get
know what
flagged
you're
for
now.
Like
okay.
pieces of like they get pieces of like music in the background or something, and it's an algorithm that checks these videos like automatically for the affiliates of these affiliate programs. And what happens is, like, for example, right, you guys watching the live stream, congratulations. You may be the only ones that can watch it other than on Twitch servers, because what could happen is we put our video up there, our theme song, all right, flags it, and now it's still up there. But if we were making money off it, what happens is whoever flagged it gets the money for the actual video. They get all the money for it until you dispute it or whatever. You have to dispute it, and then it goes through that process, what happens is it gets sent to them, the people that actually, you know, quote unquote disputed it, gets sent to the person that actually said it was a copyright claim, and then okays it. Like people like Ubisoft and all that have had things flagged in their name that they didn't give a shit about that they have to verify. And if you have three, I believe it is, failed disputes, your channel is destroyed basically.
What?
Right.
That
so
is
if
fucking
Purge,
absurd.
If Purge
oh
gets flagged,
my God.
He has to decide what he wants to actually flag and not flag, right? He doesn't have any now, from what I understand. But people
he's very good about not doing anything on this video.
Yeah, like Angry Joe or all these other YouTube people who
Dude,
are now basically
Angry Joe video. That was
75 people, right? 75 videos are flagged. If he fails on three of those he flags, then his channel can be shut down. It's absolute shit. And I almost feel like Twitch is sometimes shit, sometimes isn't. But we need something that actually caters towards us gamers, because right now, YouTube doesn't give shit about gaming because it's a small subsector of their actual, you know, viewers.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a place like Twitch is a haven for gamers. Now, Twitch has a lot of problems right now. I mean, it's good, but it still has a lot of problems. And I think it needs to go the way of helping support the actual people that are streaming, as like YouTube does, but that's on VODs and all that. But that's a big topic for another thing. But
yeah,
it's just something we need to keep an eye on. It's not so much about Dota 2, but it's something we need to know about. Kind of like those things where they try to censor the internet, that kind of thing.
If you guys, maybe we'll put a link to the Angry Joe video in the show notes or something. The Angry Joe video is really good. I feel really like you just feel bad for him when you watch.
Yeah, I haven't seen it myself. I'll have to take a look at it.
Because it's just such a cluster of a...
I'll try to link it here real situation. Fast in the chat. But that's basically the big part about it that you guys need to understand.
Yeah,
so,
it's bad. But.
Now, the final topic of...
Before we move to the final topic, I want to go ahead, and this is my time. Right. I'm sorry, but I will need to sign off. My shuttle's going to be coming. I got to go to the airport, go to California, et cetera, et cetera. I want to thank you guys so much for having me on here. This is fun. It's been nice to do this. It was a pleasure. I'm happy to be back whenever. You guys are great. I will bring some of my equipment with me in case there's boring downtime. It is just going to be me and some of the family. I'll still be probably casting in game or whatever. You can find me over at twitch.tv/coddleguy. Shameless plug incoming. And Twitter at coddleguy as well. I want to thank you guys once again for having me on here, but I will have to bid adieu.
See
thank
you later.
For coming.
Thanks for
Take
coming.
Care.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
Appreciate
Have
it.
Have a flight.
All right. Sorry for the momentary fucking of the overlays, which are now unfucked because I planned ahead. Excellent.
Look at that. It looks like we know what we're doing.
Oh my God. Perfect.
That's
all right. Fantastic. Let's move on to the last topic. I'm a big fan of this one. I have some opinions.
That's the
Let's
way
do
sure,
it.
Guys.
Let's get some opinions.
I have some opinions.
All right. Well, let's.
Do we want to go? Okay. I'll talk about it. And we'll just go.
All right. Let's talk about the clusterfuck we're going to have. Like, GOSU Awards 2013, they're basically getting a poll up and saying, who do you think is the X best player, X team, whatever. So the first one we're going to talk about here is the best Dota team of the year.
All right, so can we just like each go around and say our vote?
Yeah, let's do that.
And then if there's some wild discrepancies, then we can argue.
Let's give the five. Alliance, Na'Vi, DK, Fnatic, and LGD.CN. Go for it, Greg.
Alliance.
All right, Mason.
Alliance.
I'm a big Na'Vi fanboy, but I'm going to have to say Alliance.
All right. Well, that
they won TI3. I think you have to give it to them.
Yeah, I mean,
they might be performing a little bit worse right now, but they're still a really good team, top-tier team.
I think you have to give that to them.
Yeah.
At least for now.
At least for now, yeah. If they really shit the bed, then.
So, most improved team of 2013, we have VC Gaming, Speed Gaming, Fnatic, Sigma International, and First Departure. Greg.
Speed. Easy. Yeah.
Mason?
VG.
I'm okay with that one also.
I'm with Speed. I'm with Greg on this one.
Speed will forever have a fucking place in my heart. I love that team. They are so impressive. Seeing them on LAN was amazing. That was like, the games against DK were unbelievable. They played so well, I couldn't even believe it. On the other hand, VG, I can also totally sympathize. They're playing unbelievably right now.
I'm going to say Vici because it is supposed to be the most improved team, and while I think you could possibly call Speed, like, the best new team, although they've, had some iterations. That's true. Yeah. But, like, I think that I want to say that Vici is they're going to be my most improved bet. They were pretty good when they started off as that sort of, all-star pub star team. Then they took a big hit, and now they've got some roster changes, and they're taking games off the best in the East. So, yeah. Watch out for Vici.
Yeah, they're real good. They won EMS, so, that's a thing.
I agree. Now, this one, all right?
Oh, God.
this one's tough. I mean, I look at this list, and I'm popping an antidepressant just thinking about it. Right? We got the most disappointing team in 2013. This is a tough one, guys. Ready? LGD International, which is probably disbanding. And Black is just sitting on a road somewhere with his thumb in the air. Virtus Pro, and I think we're talking about the Dream Team Virtus Pro here.
Fucking Dream Team.
God.
Rising Stars.
Someone's dream.
Invasion, MUFC, and the defunct Zenith.
Pretty much all these teams are defunct.
Guys,
except for
this is the most depressing list of Dota teams
for me,
I have ever seen.
For me, I have to say it is definitely LGDN. That was a disaster and a fucking half. Between, like, last year they played okay when their aggressive tri-lanes were really good for, like, a little bit, and then they just were not good for a while. And this year, the whole Sayuri thing, like, oh, God. They're just most disappointing on the moral front and on the Dota front.
Mason, I have a question, okay?
Yeah.
Hypothetical question. Your girlfriend tells you she's leaving you.
Okay.
Which is more depressing? That... Or looking at this list.
Looking at this list of teams hurts my heart more.
Oh, all right, that's what
God.
I thought. Good
oh,
job.
God.
I'm proud of you. Any other idea and decision would have been wrong. So.
Dota first.
Dota first.
I'd say my most disappointing team of 2013 is Virtus fucking Pro. I had so much hope for this team when they announced that roster. I thought that these guys were going to stomp the shit out of the CIS and just take over the world. And they blew horse cock.
If we were any good at editing, we would take the episode where we talked about this and how happy we were and just put in the background over us just drinking heavily. Okay?
I mean, should do that. Oh, my God.
I can't even...
I don't even
I can't
know.
Fathom how a team... of those players
so
did
bad.
So badly.
Yeah.
It's oh fuck, man. I don't know.
Also, I would not recommend letting your girlfriend hear this episode. So you know.
She doesn't listen to this.
And that was famous last words.
Famous last words. Mason won't be here next week, guys. All right. What's yours, Dart? What's yours?
You know what? I got to go with Virtus Pro.
Yeah,
I mean, the amount
I'm
of suckage, the amount of suckage disappointment that came from this is like a lonely Christmas. It really is. I mean,
let's give a special nomination to MUFC for making it to TI3 and not winning a game.
And I felt so bad for Winter. I mean,
it's okay.
I can just figure him drinking, going, oh, I'm in trouble.
All right.
The best carry of 2013.
Ooh.
Loda, Avost, Burning, Howl, and Era. No Black. What? Okay.
This is a really
this
hard
is
one.
This is real
for me.
Hard.
I think I would have to say Burning. Burning, like, despite DK not really winning still, Burning is unbelievably impressive. Burning, like, the biggest thing, like, he's good as a carry. He can farm very well. He's extremely strong in lane. Like, the mid-lone druid versus RTZ OD was amazing. Mm-hmm. He's super talented, extremely impressive. I think it's, for me, it's probably Burning.
Mason.
Oh, Jesus, this is such a hard choice. Oh, God. I'm going to say Burning because I think that he has shown the most versatility of any carry player. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, the old DK, when you think of, you know, 4-protect Burning, it was, you know, Ryze forever. You know, that's kind of what happened at TI3. You know, he had, with his lone druid game, like, just, I think, like, the most last hits ever in the longest game ever. It's just, like, you can't compete with this man when it comes to farming. But with the new DK roster as well, he's proven that he can do more than just Ryze. He's proven that he can play, you know, mid-game carries and really get involved in fight rather than just Ryze for 45 minutes. Yeah. And while I think that all of the others...
Very good, I think, as well.
Yeah. And while all of the others, you know, Loda, Havos, Tau, and Era are all fantastic as well. Like, I'm going to give it to Burning, but just by a little bit.
Yeah.
I like Burning as well, I'll be honest. I think he's one of the more versatile carries out there. I feel like Loda does an amazing job at what he does. It's just that's kind of what he does. I don't think Loda's very versatile in how he plays right now. It's not saying he can't be. It's just how he plays at the moment. So if we're talking about best carry, we're trying to do something big. But the problem is it's kind of a hard decision. I don't think Havost really would be on my list. I mean, he does a good job as well, but I definitely think Burning, followed by Loda, if I could do a second person.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And then the next one is Most Improved Player of 2013, which we have EGM, FY.
Whoa, Admiral, whoa, we skipped a couple categories here.
Well, yeah, because I did not want to spend the entire, like,
all right, hour. Well, I think we need to do best solo mid. Come on.
Best solo mid?
Okay,
all
hold
right,
on.
Give me the list.
Hold on.
All right, best solo mid 2013.
There's like 20 of these things, so I don't want to go
I mean, yeah, but I think this one's important. Our options are Mushi, S4, Mu, Dendi, and Hani.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
For me, it is... as far as a team-oriented mid, it is S4 by far, not close. In terms of player skill, like pure, if I was picking someone to play in my team, it would be RTZ, who's only an honorable mention on this list. But RTZ, kid's amazing.
Boy,
NA Dota.
The honorable mentions are Super, RTZ, Resolution, and Sing Sing.
Which are all pretty good honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's true. Mason.
Wow, this is really hard. I think if I wanted to pick a player to be on my team that does more than just a good solo mid, I would pick Mushi because he can just do so much. If I was going to pick somebody specifically to play solo mid, I actually think I would also give it to RTZ, though he is an honorable mention. If I have to pick somebody from the list, though, I'm going to pick... Ooh. I'm going to pick S4. S4 for solo mid from the list, RTZ in reality, and Mushi if I'm picking someone thinking more of a whole team lineup.
I'm thinking S4 as well, and I think Arteezy would be an amazing player. But if we're looking at the 2013, as in like
for 2013, games, I think he's not you know.
Now 2014, if he continues doing what he's doing,
he would be on there.
He definitely would. But if we're trying to do like the list of who's on there right now, it's S4. I love Dendi to death, but you know I think he hasn't really broken out recently and done he's done amazing, but
the games that he smashes, his team's throwing, so it's hard.
Yeah.
So I think let's lump all the supports in one category. Definitely worth talking about though. Best Support of 2013, No Tail, FY, Puppy, EGM, Net, Aki, Kuroki, Extinct, Vance Core, and Banana. For me, oh god, this is like the hardest choice. For me, it's probably Aki or EGM. I don't think I could choose between them, though. Probably Aki.
I'm going to say it's probably for me also between Aki and EGM, but I definitely want to give a shout out to Vanscore, because that guy is fucking good at this game. He is probably one of the best Rubik players that I've ever seen. Vanscore is real good.
I think, so these are technically different voting categories. EGM and Aki would definitely be my two picks. Not close.
Yeah, I would probably pick EGM and Aki if I had to pick my one and two, but Vanscore's high up on my list too.
EGM and Aki, definitely for me as well.
All right, we can continue with your regularly scheduled programming.
So we're going back to the list now?
Back to the list, yeah.
Back to the list. Right. Back to more of them.
So, did we do most improved player?
Yeah. No, we didn't.
We left off. Okay. Most improved player of 2013, EGM, FY, Admiral Bulldog, Havost, and Miracle. Greg.
Miracle.
But he's only made a splash recently.
He outfarmed a 10k disadvantage on a Naga Siren. That guy...
Dude, we're talking about 2013, not the end of 2013.
It's still 2013. Yeah, but he's improved to the point where he can do that is amazing. EGM would be my more consistently improving answer. Although the thing is, I feel like he played better at TI3 than he has played recently, only because I think his play is getting a little bit cocky, and he pays for it occasionally. But
yeah.
EGM has also gotten... I mean, he was already good, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, see, this is where the most improved categories kind of hit me, because a lot of these aren't people who were, like,
bad.
Poor. Like, people who I would consider for a most improved category are ones who started off on really mediocre teams or didn't really start off for much and then got big.
I think Sing Sing would be my actual most improved player.
He's been amazing all the time.
No, but he was not nearly as good in competitive play than he has been recently.
I will definitely say Sing Sing, because I remember kind of... I mean, it wasn't his first outing, but the first one that I really got to see of him play competitively was in QPAD. And so, you know, they kind of hit with a bit of a splash at first. You know, they picked Kunkka in their first series and did pretty well. But, I mean, God knows we all know how QPAD went. And so... I would give it to Sing Sing as well,
yeah,
because
Sing Sing
I think he's shown an amazing skill level on speed gaming.
His Mirana is just absolutely stupid.
Shoot arrow, hit arrow.
Win game.
For me, I mean, I think EGM is first, but I'll be honest, I think some respect needs to be given to Admiral Bulldog. His hero pool has increased a fair amount this year.
He's playing Bristleback now.
That's kind of hard for me. It's a hard one. I kind of have to tie EGM and Admiral Bulldog, because he went from this guy who was just playing Lone Druid and then Nature's Prophet to a whole bunch of other heroes. Can you imagine, like, Dendi, like, finding Admiral Bulldog and not knowing, like, in a year or whatever time he'd be facing him at the International?
Yeah.
2013.
That's crazy.
It'd be his biggest adversary.
That's an awesome story.
That's pretty amazing. I think that storyline need to be hyped a whole lot more at TI3. I think it's a good story, good drama, but that's my take on it. This is one I really don't like, because I feel like this next one.
Oh, we're going to talk about this one.
I don't really like the idea of putting people in lists like this, because I think they each have their good things and bad things.
Get to it, come on.
Best English caster 2013. The list is Tobiwan, LD, Draskal, AC, Baskep, Shiver, Merlini, Luminous, Gods, Winner, and Lysander, Zenora.
All right, first of all, rest
you're not
in
on
peace.
There.
Oh, yeah, well, that's fine.
What the fuck?
Rest in peace, Mott and Capitalist, and
yeah,
probably
really,
Zayuri,
huh?
Who all deserve a spot in that list if Lysander and Basekip are on there. That's no shots at Lysander or Basekip. They both casted a fair amount this year, but Mott has casted a shitload for MLG. You know, Zeri recently has started casting an absurd amount.
Coddle guy's fucking missing.
Dude, Capitalist is the second main caster at JD now. Which, I mean, I understand that one a little more, because he hasn't really casted since TI3 qualifiers. I already gave all the GGNet people shit about this list. But when it comes down to my opinion, it's Merlini.
Okay, I want to split this up, actually.
No, I want not allowed. Nope.
No, yeah, I'm splitting this up.
Pick a favorite.
I'm splitting this up.
All right,
I'll give you my favorite, and then we can split it up.
Okay.
And it's gonna be boring because I'm also gonna agree and say Merlini.
Dude, Merlini, so good. All right, and now, all right, Jared, give us our favorite, and then we'll do whatever the hell Mason wants to do.
I gotta say. I think you're gonna disagree with me on this, but I think Toby. And that's not something I normally say, but Toby has like really come a long way in terms of how he's been doing things. He's been going a long way in terms of his knowledge and his casting. And I think JD's been in a big slump, but I kind of feel like they're gonna go a little bit further than they have in the next, we'll say, 6 months, especially with capitalists and all that. I think Toby's improved quite a bit, but Merlini is definitely amazing at the same time. You want to break it up, Mason?
Yeah, the way I want to split this is into like main casters and co-casters, because I think sort of lumping them together is they don't serve the same purpose. So I almost want to say like I want one of these lists to be like Toby, LD, AC, Shiver, and like Basekip and Lysander, and then the other one to be like Draskal, Merlini, Luminous Gods, and Winter, because I think they're sort of more of like the co-casting side of it rather than, you know, the main play-by-plays.
I almost wanted to be like best established caster 2013 and best new caster 2013. So people like Ziori, Basekip, Lysander, you know, et cetera, Mott, yeah, would have a list to be in, like the up-and-comers. I feel like that should have been added into this. And if it isn't, Greg, get on it. Tell GG now that they have to do that.
All right, but with my split up, with your split up, I would choose no one for main caster because I hate listening to main casters. I literally will mute them and still pick Merlini.
I'm going to say Merlini's my favorite co-caster, and I'm going to give LD my favorite main caster.
I love LD too. It's such a hard... I don't like making these kind of decisions. It's like, I love all my children.
Oh my god.
So like, you know?
I love
vomit, sorry.
It's all right. Stop looking at your webcam. Stop that from happening. Now, the next list. Personality of the Year 2013. Bruno, Cyborg Matt, Perrion Flax, Too Good, and Wickham. Here's my problem.
Cyborg
Why am I not on that list? I'm pissed off.
For many good reasons. Cyborg Matt, not close.
None of them good. Cyborg Matt?
Not close. That guy contributes an amazing amount to the community.
He does.
Super nice. He does so much shit.
But I feel like he and Wickram don't really fit into the rest of this list. Like, half of them are personalities, and then they're more of, like, community involvement.
Yeah.
All right.
So if this is community involvement, I'll give it to Cyborg Matt, hands down. If this is, like, personalities, but like, if you I would think, saying, like, okay, a television personality.
The way I look at personality is, like, if I had to pick one of these people at an event, to be at an event that I'm at or something for any reason, it would just be Cyborg Matt, that guy.
I would say Bruno.
That's fine.
Not that I don't love you, Matt.
What I think personality of the year is like someone you would have like hosting the show.
Yeah, that's exactly that's how I think personality is.
All right, I would choose Too Good in that
2GD is definitely up there. Bruno for the suits,
that
though.
That guy's fucking, he's a god.
I think I would say it's a tie. I feel like Too Good and Perrion. If we're talking about people I want to host a show. If we're talking about community personalities, I would definitely say, I mean, Cyborg does a ton, but Wickham never fucking sleeps.
Whatever.
It's true. He really doesn't.
I mean,
he doesn't
cut it.
He finds a lot of news and posts it, which is great. I think Cyborg Matt would actually come out ahead. Just Cyborg Matt is doing a lot of active work, and Wickham, like, you know, puts images together to show off new things, and that's great. But I think his stuff is more like a news deliverer versus Cyborg tearing things apart, contributing. And Cyborg Matt takes so much shit he doesn't deserve; it's not even funny.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Let's finish it up. We're running long as hell here. Let's finish it up.
That's all right.
It's like 10 minutes late. It's not that bad. Best Dota 2 mem. All right, this
mem?
Is tough
did you just say mem?
I always say mem.
It's meme.
Meme? I know it says
Mongoloid.
Meme, but
oh my
it's,
meme?
Like, it's like it's like
Destiny
melee.
2 meme?
It's like me. It's like melee and melee. I always say melee
whatever,
too.
Whatever.
And I know the actual one.
All right. So, what's your favorite Dota mem?
Well, we got give Dire time with the little.
With
the face there.
The smashy guy.
Yeah. We got Kappa, Volvo Disband, 320, and Xbox Avost.
Four.
I got to say, give Dire Tide, man. I mean, hands down. I mean,
give
I know Kappa's
Tide.
A...
Not
Kappa's
close.
A,
it's
Kappa's
gotta
a
be give Dire Tide.
Nothing Kappa's... has created a fucking shitstorm like give Dire Tide has, so, you know, that just wins.
And Kappa... and nothing has more... you got to put it this way. Like, just the give Dire Tide guy... is just so multifaceted now. Like, it can be right. used for so many things.
He spawned he's, an yeah, entire
he's,
family.
He's gone. He's reached enlightenment. He's gone above and beyond the meme
he,
level.
He is Siddhartha.
Tide, no? Like, punch Dire Tide. Give
oh my
Dire.
God.
Punch him.
All right, where's punch him on
yeah,
this
where's
list?
Where's punch him on this list?
Oh, my God. That was fantastic.
Give Dire Tide is definitely the winner. I mean, Kappa's just internal for Twitch. It has no long-reaching effects. I mean, children in Africa may know about Give Dota, Give Dire Tide versus Kappa.
What? I mean, we took over a fucking car company for a bit. Like,
hey, man, it's gonna be on. It's gonna be a bumper sticker on every Volvo vehicle next year, 2014. You haven't heard it? I'm breaking the news.
Oh Jesus!
Hope I don't get in trouble. And all I right. think that's it. We have. That's all we have.
Yeah, that's right? all we got. Let's wrap it up.
All right, Greg, what kind of shout-outs do you have?
Shout-out to CyberPower PC. If you need a new computer, I would highly recommend checking theirs out if you do not want to build it yourself. The one that I have provided by them is amazing, to say the least.
We're all jelly.
And you can follow me on Twitter, at WhatIsHipTV. It's right below my name here or something. I don't know. I can't really point right now, but somewhere around there. And that's, you know, I have a short list this week. That's it.
Mason, any shout-outts?
Big shout-out to Coddle Guy for joining us this week. It was great to have him and his beard on. Always shout-outs to CyberPower PC for making the show happen. And thank you to everybody who joined us on the live stream today. It was a lot of fun being able to do this officially for the first time. And to you guys who want audio only and all our fans there, thank you as well. And don't worry, we will continue to put it out in podcast form.
Yep.
And finally... shout out to Darius, who had his birthday weekend this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
He's how old are you? Like, how 63, old are you? 64?
Oh, my God.
32.
When you were old. My age, when you were my age, yeah. I was 10 years old.
That's right.
You are was, goddamn old.
I was way cooler at your age, too. And I'm still cooler at 32.
When you were my age, I was 6.
You know, yep. Here's a funny story. I'll end this with a story.
Wow, we have a big spread. We have a big spread. All right, what's the story?
I'm going to finish with a story. Mason and I are from the same hometown. What happened was Greg was like, hey, I got this new guy who's supposed to be writing for the show, writing for the website. Yeah, writing for the website.
funny.
Hate all of
so, you. He's like, he comes in. I'm like, hey, how's it going, Mason? It's like, good. I'm like, where are you from? It's like, oh, North Attleboro. I'm like, dude, I'm from North Attleboro. So it was a very geeky moment. Now as for shout-outs.
And then we fucked.
That's right. Now kiss.
Greg watched.
Wow.
He wanted to join in, but we were shot out of time. As for shout-outs to CyberPower PC, as always. I'm going to give a shout-out to Action Slacks, Sir Action Slacks, who's been watching this entire time. He's the guy that does the voices on the – he does those voices for Dota 2 videos.
So funny.
Tonight. He's pretty good. We've been playing with him recently a lot. So shout-out to him. You can always follow us on our respective Twitter handles. I'm at Darieth. Really happy about this. I'm sorry for like the extra people that have shown up at the very end of the show, but you know, there's always next week, which we'll be doing hopefully around the same time. We're working on the timing because we might have a very special guest joining us, and so depending on them, we might be switching our timing around.
Yes.
But thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Do we want to do the...
Oh, yes, we have a giveaway.
All right, so here's how the giveaway is going to work, guys. I'm going to roll the dice as long as this plugin works, which for the moment it is not working.
Nice job.
Which is a gift thing.
We came prepared.
Oh, my God. It was working 2 seconds ago, and then I like refreshed it, and it fucked. All right, this might turn into a Twitter giveaway if this is broken. There is no one to choose
from. You done fucked it up.
I really did. Chat, list, spam filter. What's going on here? It's broken now. God damn it. All right, well, we'll give it a second. But that's the end of the show this week. Thank you guys for stopping by. If you're on the Twitch stream, don't leave, because we are going to give away a free-to-play poster right now. If you're on the podcast, next week, tune in. Maybe I'll give away some items or something at the end of the show.
No, that's sale, man.
Thanks for stopping by, though.
Thank you, everybody. Take care.